to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, everyone, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, October 11th, 2008, and we're here once again, live, loud, and clear, completely uncensored and unrehearsed on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you live from our headquarters, our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM Radio, in Memphis, Tennessee. Again, James Edwards here with you this evening, co-hosting with me tonight, my good friend, Winston Smith. Winston, good to have you back on the show. How are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing very well. It's always my pleasure to be co-hosting with you, and I look forward to talking with some of our guests, especially Reverend Ted Pike. I've missed fulfilling my co-hosting duties very much, and I'm always glad to be back on the air with James Edwards on RBN.
Of course, Bill Rowland has been pulling his fair share of the co-hosting duties lately. Winston Smith is kind of the James Bond of the cesspool. He's been world traveling lately. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has been working every Saturday night, and so it's been Bill and myself for the bulk of the programs here for our first couple of months. But as Winston mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, have we got a great show for you tonight. Not one, not two, not even three, but four sensational guests coming your way before the clock runs out this evening. We're going to start in just a couple of minutes with an interview with Paul Craig Roberts, the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury during Ronald Reagan's first term. Paul Craig Roberts is going to be on with us to talk about the economic collapse that we're in the middle of right now. A little later on in the program, you're going to hear also from Gordon Lee Baum, Esquire. He is an accomplished attorney in St. Louis, Missouri. He's going to be talking to us about what's going on there with the Obama camp. They want to sue people if they say things bad about Barack Obama. And Gordon Baum played an instrumental role in getting that squelched. Great story coming up from Gordon Lee Baum. Later on in the program, Dr. Kevin McDonald. As we told you last week, the Southern Poverty Law Center has reported, is actually newsworthy, but we actually found it from their site that the Academic Senate has sanctioned Kevin McDonald over there at California State University, Long Beach. We want to let you hear the kind of man he is, the way he speaks, and you tell me if he is deserving of this kind of treatment. You'll hear from Kevin McDonald tonight, and also, as Winston mentioned, Reverend Ted Pike, the director of the National Prayer Network, going to be talking about a potentially precedent-setting ordeal in Great Britain with a warrant issued for the arrest of Dr. Frederick Tobin, and it is the very first ever warrant issued by the European Union for the arrest of a thought criminal, so-called. All that and more tonight. Paul Craig Roberts, Gordon Baum, Reverend Ted Pike, and Dr. Kevin McDonald, all over the course of the next 3 hours. That and much, much more. Winston and I have a lot to talk to you about, and if you want to get on the line at any point between now and midnight, give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. We would love to hear from you, 1-800-313-9443, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Of course, our website is thepoliticalcesspool.org. There we already have up for you a blog posting that will give you more information about each of our esteemed guests this evening, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And don't forget to sign up for our email list while you're there. Winston, are you buckled up, ready to hold on for your life? As we prepare to give them a good dose of filth this evening here in the circle, we got 10 seconds to break. I think Winston is putting his bit in his mouth. We're getting ready. We're going to be on for a rocky ride, folks. There's a lot of stuff we have to sort through this evening, and we're glad you're with us. James Edwards, Winston Smith here with you. We're going to be back, and we're going to get down to business. And the political cesspool continues right after these words from our sponsors.
possible, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Ketaden Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared. Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
So today, I'll be standing right by his side.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. James Edwards and Winston Smith co-hosting for you tonight here on the Political Cesspool, our award-winning show out of Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting around the country on Republic Broadcasting Radio Network tonight. We had to use all of that first little introductory segment to let you know how much we've got on the table for you tonight. Paul Craig Roberts, Gordon Baum, Ted Pike, Kevin McDonald, all forthcoming. That being said, though, as we wait for the first of our guests, which will be Craig Roberts in just a few minutes, there's a few random issues that I want to bring up for discussion and get Winston to give us his opinion on. Little hodgepodge section here of the program, and then we're going to get into a much more structured format when we move in with these heavyweight guests for tonight. But Winston, you may or may not have seen this. If you've read our own blog this week, you undoubtedly have. But I saw something that was just so egregious that it had to be brought up on the air in addition to having an article written about it on our website. But it accentuates yet another incredible double standard where one set of rules applies for one set of people and then we have to abide to the letter of the law, to the fullest extent of the law. I'll give you the story and let you take over. Yom Kippur. I know you were celebrating Yom Kippur this week, Winston. It's one of the holiest days, if not the holiest day, of the Jewish calendar. And in Maryland, just 2 days before Yom Kippur, two synagogues were defaced with anti-Jewish messages. The police, of course, leapt into action to catch the perpetrators of this hate crime, quote-unquote, In fact, they arrested three suspects just a few days later. But now, surprise, surprise, all talk about hate crimes has been forgotten. Police have announced that it's not a hate crime anymore and that the suspects will face only misdemeanor charges. Now, you're probably asking, why? Why? Well, the answer is because the ringleader is a Jew who attends one of the targeted synagogues. Now, so basically here, the moral of this story, as we start the program tonight, if a Christian is believed to have defaced a synagogue with anti-Semitic messages, then it's, of course, a hate crime. But if a Jew does, it's simpler. It's simply minor childlike vandalism. Winston, your thoughts?
James, there is no reason why this should not still be considered a hate crime, because the intent of the action of those delinquents was to cast dispersion upon Christians, upon white Christians. Their goal was to deface this synagogue and make it appear as though some white Christian did it, and thereby create hatred against white Christians. It was an attack upon the white Christian community, and that, because it was targeted at a specific group, an entire group, that qualifies as a hate crime. So even though it was Jews doing it on their own property, against their own people, the attack was actually against another entire group of people, that of white Christians, and it is a hate crime. And as you said, it will not be prosecuted as such, though it should be. There should be somebody there to raise a ruckus, as it were, and demand this be treated as it was. This was a calculated attack against white Christians. Nothing more, nothing less, and it is a hate crime.
Well, and of course, now we don't necessarily believe in hate crimes. I mean, certainly not the way that the media would describe them to be, but the double standard here. If they insist on enforcing these laws against Christians, then certainly it should be enforced against non-Christians as well. And, you know, of course, you can remember Winston, you know, speaking of Ted Pike, who's going to be coming on in a little bit to talk about a separate issue, but it's related to this too. Ted Pike was on our show a couple of years ago, or last year, it's been a while, talking about the Christians in Philadelphia who were arrested for merely spreading the gospel as it comes from the Bible itself, and they were charged with hate crimes for just merely spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even that gospel is now being rewritten. Get this, Winston, I know you'll particularly care for this story, and I didn't even intend, this isn't even in my notes, so I'm kind of going blind here, but I read this shortly before the program began, and I wanted to make mention of it, since we're on sort of a biblical topic here. They there's a guy in Sweden who wants to get the MTV generation to read the Bible. So I thought that was interesting, so I clicked on the article, and what he's doing is printed the New Testament. It's called the Bible Illustrated. The Bible Illustrated. And it's kind of set up like a Sports Illustrated magazine, or actually they even likened it to a Playboy magazine, because it's written in the same format as you might find one of these glossy magazines at the supermarket. It is fully illustrated, and it has certain passages highlighted. But guess how they're illustrating it, Winston? They have, you know, a passage about righteousness highlighted on one of the pages of the Bible, and there to illustrate what righteousness is a picture of Martin Luther King, Jr., a.k.a. Michael King. Now, they go on, you remember the classic verse, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. And there, to illustrate that, they have three black urban youths giving gang signs. You know, posing, giving gang signs. So, you know, if that is what the Bible is being interpreted as now, and if that's what trying, if they're trying to make the Bible speak for that sort of, you know, demagoguery, I guess is the word I'm looking for, then there's not going to be much need for hate crimes, because Christianity is going to be nothing at all. It's going to be nothing at all. Have you caught that at all? Did you catch that story?
No, I didn't, but I will certainly look it up. But
Google Bible Illustrated, ladies and gentlemen. You can read for yourself.
The message is obvious here. The problem is that kind of that kind of magazine, that sort of treatment of Scripture will be wholeheartedly welcomed and endorsed by so many stupid white Judeo-Christians who have been trained that to think that the Bible was written by Martin Luther King and by Barack Obama, and that it is applicable only to gutter hip-hop dwellers, and the stupid white Christians will embrace it, not realizing that it is only so much beating at the air. It's worthless. It is absolutely valueless.
And we say stupid white Christians as politely as possible. But I got another one for you, Winston, as this is a little hodgepodge here. I didn't even intend to bring that up, but that was just so flagrant that I figured as though, you know, if the political festival doesn't talk about it, nobody will. But Google Bible Illustrated, you'll be shocked. Moving along to the contemporary election here, my goodness, you know, you're never at a shortage of garbage when you want to talk about Barack Obama's campaign. But cultural Marxism, a.k.a. political correctness, has reared its head again, Winston, this time where? In Florida, Lee County, named after, of course, Robert E. Lee. The sheriff there is under investigation. The Lee County sheriff is under investigation for calling Barack Obama Barack Hussein Obama before he introduced Sarah Palin. Here's the story, and I'm reading it verbatim here from this article. We have seen many changes in this great nation, which have been brought about by left-wing activists. And this article, by the way, comes from European Americans United, their website. As kids, we used to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Now it's being attacked in the courts. We used to say a prayer in the morning before school or at football games. Socialists in America have deemed that offensive, and the practice has all but disappeared. Christmas displays honoring the birth of Christ trigger convulsions by the left, who say we shouldn't make people feel uncomfortable with our manger scene. Now, we can't even say what we want to say in public because not only will the thought police be on patrol, but, using a recent event in Florida as an example, saying Hussein Obama in public might just get you a visit from the FBI. Just ask Florida's Lee County Sheriff Mike Scott, who is under fire and investigation for referring to Obama at a campaign rally by, gasp, his full name. What's going on with America? And if you're wondering, Winston, why they would put this sheriff under investigation for calling Barack Obama by his full name, or the name he's using now, whatever his real name is, I don't think we know. But by calling Barack Hussein Obama, they say that officials with the U.S. Office of Special Counsel are investigating this sheriff because they're not sure if he used his position as sheriff to influence an election. And if he did, he's in violation of a federal election law called the Hatch Act. But anyway, long story short, a sheriff gets up on stage in advance of Sarah Palin. He's warm-up act. He calls Barack Obama Barack Hussein Obama, and now he's being investigated by some special, you know, XBA. I don't know what they are. Whatever they are. The U.S. Office of Special Counsel. Apparently, they're FBI proxies. I don't know. Make sense of that for me, Winston.
It is clearly censorship, and it's a violation of the sheriff's free speech. You know, James, free speech exists only for the left. If you say anything with which the left disagrees, then that's automatically condemned as hate speech, and you're not allowed to say it. In this case, you can't even say the man's middle name. What is wrong with saying his middle name? It's his name. Of course, that has taken on the same status as bringing up the fact that his birth certificate has been forged, and he may not even be an American citizen. And I hope Paul Craig Roberts will be able to address this for us when he comes on. But there was a gentleman.
We got 5 seconds.
Jersey,
I want you to pick it up where you're leaving off right after we take this break. The political festival continues on RBN right after this, ladies and gentlemen.
Get funniest. Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. I'll come and watch you sing and play.
No, I'm not using headsets.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John T., a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Thank you, Art Frith, our Lord of the Board here at AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station that broadcasts us through the world over the Republic Broadcasting Radio Network. Winston Smith, however, is not here in the studios this evening. He's about 24 hours away. If you took an airplane ride, Winston, way over on the other side of the world, and we noticed he had a little bit of, a little bit of discrepancy with his audio there, so we think we got that fixed in the commercial break. We're going to try again. Winston, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me all right?
Much better, much better. We'll see if these audio levels hold. This is the, you know, the marvel of modern-day technology, ladies and gentlemen. We can do all sorts of things here, and if it's not perfect, we'll do our best to make it perfect. But Winston, we just have a few minutes before our first guest comes on. Paul Craig Roberts, an absolute luminary, a very big guest for any program, and we're particularly excited to have him. He's going to be coming up in a minute or two. But before we get to Paul Craig, I wanted to let you continue your thoughts on this sheriff being under investigation for calling Barack Obama by his name.
You can't even use a man's middle name, and that, because that becomes hate speech. The fact is, we have lost our freedom of speech. If you have to guard your speech for fear of offending somebody politically, which is precisely what our First Amendment was designed to protect, then you don't have free speech. The plain fact of the matter is, my friends, that America, as most people imagine America, does not exist anymore. The Constitution is a dead document. Even our own president, called it just a GD piece of paper. It should not bother anyone to be called by their name. In fact, on the political cesspool, if I come across somebody's name that I am not certain I've pronounced properly, I qualify that. I say, you know, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly. I don't intend to say it incorrectly, but here's my best interpretation of it. I don't ever intend to insult anybody by using their name. And if Barack Hussein Obama is ashamed of his name, perhaps he should change it back to his real name, which is Barry Obama.
Or Barry Soretto, if you ask some folks. I mean, nobody knows much about this guy. Jerome Corsi was over there in Kenya. You know, Corsi's been on this show a couple of times. He was over in Kenya last week, you know, checking out the scoop, and he got expelled. So, you know, I don't think they want you to know much about him. Did you get that story, Winston?
Yes, I read that. They first detained him. The immigration people detained him because he didn't have the proper visa, the work visa. And, of course, the reason they did that is because Barack Hussein Obama is wildly popular in Kenya, being something of a native son. We will never really know what citizenship Barack Hussein Obama holds because he's produced a forged birth certificate. And, in fact, a gentleman in either New Jersey or New York has filed a lawsuit challenging Barack Hussein Obama's qualification to run for president. You have to be a natural-born United States citizen to run for president in this country, and it appears that he does not fill that qualification.
Well, no, he doesn't. And speaking of Corsi, he actually emailed us this week to come back on the show and talk about it. We're going to try to get him on if we have the time. We're pretty busy this month. But in the meantime, folks can go check out Corsi's detailing of this affair at, I believe, worldnetdaily.com. He writes about it there. But anyway, Winston, another thing equally obnoxious, you're fighting this politically. You're finding this political correctness when you're talking about Obama, and then you got all these obnoxious Hollywood stars, all of these movie stars that, you know, don't know jack about politics. They're doing just whatever they believe to be in vogue, and then you got to watch these knuckleheads talk about how, you know, they need change, and, you know, Matt Damon and Bruce Springsteen, and a whole lot of them. I mean, it is so, you know, despicable and so insulting to our intelligence that some stupid movie star could influence the way educated people vote, the kind of people who listen to RBN, for instance, but that would have any effect on how we vote. I guess it's just kind of trivial in the grand scheme of things, but does that not get under your skin a little bit when you watch all these clowns?
Oh, it certainly does. It harkens back to the day when the actress Demi Moore made a movie called G.I. Jane. It was about a woman who became a U.S. Navy SEAL. And in the promotion of that movie, I think she went on the Tonight Show or one of the late-night talk shows and said that that movie proves that women can serve in special, special forces. And I thought, well, you idiot, it proves nothing. All it proves is that you can make a movie about a woman who made it into Navy SEALs. But these people, they do a movie, and they take advantage of their notoriety, and they think that somehow that qualifies them to actually fulfill the part they play. It would be like, what was his name, Martin Sheen, because he played the president on a television show for several years, thinking that he is actually qualified to be president.
Well, in Martin Sheen's defense, he probably is more qualified than Obama, but that's not saying too much. And that's about all we can say, because we've got 30 seconds left. Folks, we're going to take a radical turn and start talking about the economy. Paul Craig Roberts waiting in the wings. We're going to hear from him. Everybody's losing big in the stock markets. 401ks are plummeting. What's going on? How can we rectify the situation? Paul Craig Roberts is going to give us some answers right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
At the time of death, loved ones are forced to make many important and difficult decisions. Planning together allows families to avoid difficult decisions in the future and gives you peace of mind now. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is a new perpetual care cemetery located 1 mile south of Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Autumn Woods is the largest cemetery in DeSoto County and serves the entire DeSoto County, Memphis metropolitan area. Autumn Woods Memorial Park allows for a dignified and peaceful final resting place. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is locally owned and operated. The staff is committed to providing the best possible service at the most affordable price. Autumn Woods Memorial Park now has side-by-side lots starting at $600. Come by and visit our beautiful property, conveniently located at 6240 Davison Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, or call us at 901-521-9520. You can also find us online at www.autumnwoodsmemorialpark.com.
The stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
All right, welcome back to the show this evening, everyone. James Edwards here. Of course, for the last couple of weeks, we've been trying to make sense of the economic morass that we now find ourselves in. Our guest right now, the very venerable, very esteemed Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. And, of course, Dr. Roberts is no stranger to listeners of this radio program. He was the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury during Ronald Reagan's first term and has also served as the Associate Editor for the Wall Street Journal, in addition to being a widely read syndicated columnist. So he knows a thing or two about the economy. He's back on to try to help us make sense of it all to the best, as well as anybody can. Dr. Roberts, it's certainly an honor. Thanks for being back with us this evening.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Roberts, let me cut right to the chase. All of a sudden this month, folks have become scared to death about a potential recession, maybe even a depression. The stock market is fluctuating wildly, a lot of volatility there on Wall Street. Folks seemingly have no idea how any of this occurred. Dr. Roberts, what are the contributing factors to the current problems we now find ourselves in with regard to the economy?
Well, James, that's a question that we may not know the full answer to. We do know that the financial revolution, financial deregulation that began in the Clinton administration in 1999 when they repealed Glass-Steagall, a Depression-era legislation that separated commercial from investment banking. In 2000, they removed derivatives from regulation. In 2004, the current Secretary of the Treasury, Paulson, convinced the Securities and Exchange Commission to drop all capital requirements for investment banks so that they could leverage their assets to unrealistic levels. And these have all played a role. Also, we had the low interest rates of Alan Greenspan, which caused a real estate boom. You know, anytime the interest rates are low, the carrying cost of a mortgage drops and housing prices rise. And that led to reckless mortgage lending by companies who were just collecting fees because they don't hold the mortgages. They sell them. They get securitized, lumped in with other mortgages, sold to some other set of investors. many of these mortgages, there was no credit check, no income check. And that particular problem began back in the early 90s when the federal government, the Department of Justice, and various federal regulators put pressures on banks to lend to people whose credit wasn't good on the grounds that otherwise they were discriminating against racial minorities.
Right.
And so you had, you know, many, many years for all of these things to build up to the final perfect financial storm.
Exactly, Dr. Roberts, and I'm glad to hear you say that. There were obviously a lot of mitigating factors here that have been coming for a long time. You've been talking about it for years, as has Ron Paul and a few others that were in the know. I actually saw with regards to this affirmative action lending that you're talking about, Neil Cavuto has even spoken of that on Fox News and has taken some heat from it. But all that coming into play here, we find ourselves in the midst of this so-called bailout bill. Now, help us make sense of this, Dr. Roberts, with your expertise, because being the economic novice that I am, I can't seem to understand how that when this bill was first introduced, roughly 90% of Americans were opposed to it, many of whom were vehemently opposed to this bailout bill, and it gets defeated. Then Congress goes back, adds another $150 billion to the final tally, and it passes. It's socialized corporate welfare. How did that happen?
Well, James, it happened for two reasons. One is I think most people understand by now that the United States is governed not by the people or voting, but by a few powerful special interests of which the financial community is one. And so they used their man, Paulson, the former head of Goldman Sachs, instill fear in the Congress and to threaten them the same way they did with the Iraq invasion.
Right.
The same way that they've done with the Patriot Act, with the notion of Iran has nukes. I mean, it's a constant pressure and propaganda. So that's why it passed. But the real question or the real point is that the bailout does not bail out the problem. All the bailout does is take the troubled assets off the books of the financial institution and put them on the Treasury's books.
So basically, long story short, and this is really putting it down to its most simple common denominator, in your opinion, and you've worked in this field for a very long time, this bailout bill isn't going to be a long-term prescription to our problems. And I think that's putting it mildly. Am I right in assuming that much?
It doesn't address the problem, James. It only addresses the problem of the financial institutions. So the problem is the defaulting mortgages. And the mortgages are defaulting not because of deadbeats and not because they're all bad mortgages, but because people are losing their jobs.
Right.
And because many of the mortgages are adjustable rate, and in the rates are moving up, and some of the mortgages had hidden escalator clauses on the interest rates, and people simply can't come up with the money to pay the mortgage. So the default rate is the problem, and the bailout does not address the default rate. It only addresses the bank's books. So the guilty are bailed out, and what the bailout should have done, it would have had more chance of working. They should have used this money to refinance the troubled mortgages like they did in the Great Depression. They had the Homeowners Loan Corporation. It refinanced a million mortgages to stop the foreclosures. So if the mortgages weren't defaulting and the foreclosures weren't rising, the assets on the bank's books wouldn't be so threatened. But instead of addressing the problem, they simply said, oh, let's get our friends out of trouble real quick and put it on the Treasury's books. Now, the trouble with doing that, in addition to it not being directed at the cause of the problem, the Treasury now has to borrow $700-800 billion more dollars. Who's going to lend it to them? Are the foreigners who are also undergoing financial stress? Are they going to pony up another $700-800 billion for the U.S. Treasury on top of the current budget deficit, the current bailout of AIG, the current bailout of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac? How much can the Treasury borrow in the near term? And that part of the bailout hasn't been tested. Now
and when I'm watching this, Dr. Roberts, on the so-called debates that they're having, the two presidential candidates, and again, maybe it's just because I'm not bright enough to read between the lines, or maybe I just don't understand, but I'm not seeing much of a difference out of either of the two major party candidates when it comes to real solutions. Ron Paul offered certainly a fiscally sound alternative. But I'm watching John McCain and Barack Obama. They disagree very little, if at all, with regards to how to quote unquote fix
James,
the economy.
Yes.
Am I misreading that, or in your opinion, are they just offering the same thing?
Well, James, I think what the problem is, what the problem may be, is that the authorities don't understand the real problem. I'm not sure the economists understand it. I'm not sure Ron Paul understands the real problem. And what the real problem may be is that we are undergoing a crisis of a monetary system based on debt in which financial or paper assets have come to greatly exceed the real assets. You take fiat currencies, you lump on top of that fractional reserve banking, credit card debt, the various forms of leveraging, and you end up with more paper assets than you have underlying real assets. So the current crisis could be one of where there are more debt liens than real wealth. And in that case, either you get what most likely happens in that type of situation is that the excess debt is wiped out by inflation. And inflation also wipes out people's savings. So,
and I know that's what a lot of folks are concerned about, and it seems as though these people who are concerned about their savings, concerned about their 401ks, for whatever reason, and I can't make sense of this at all, they're looking to Barack Obama to be some sort of a savior there. When it comes to these polls that we see on television so much, which candidate do you trust more with regards to the economy? Barack Obama is the one that is favored. How did Barack Obama get to ascend to the role of economic savior with regards to the current problem? How did that happen?
Well, I think it's easy to understand that because he seems to be less connected with the problem than the Republicans are. And it doesn't mean that he knows what the solution is either, because the advice people are getting is the same. Whatever Paulson and the financial community are telling McCain, they're telling Obama.
Correct.
And that's why I went through this explanation that it may be that the crisis simply is not understood by anybody, or only by a very few people who don't get listened to because it sounds too different from what everybody else says the problem is. And so it could well be that we're going to have another terrible time. See, during the Great Depression, the reason it was so bad was nobody knew what was happening or why. They didn't realize that Federal Reserve policy was shrinking the supply of money. And, well, they didn't figure that out until in the early 60s when Friedman published his Monetary History of the United States. So they may not understand what this problem is, and it may be different from what everybody thinks, including Ron Paul. And
well, there's certainly no shortage of confusion out there, and with the couple of minutes we have remaining, Dr. Roberts, and I know it's just virtually impossible to give a detailed answer in the amount of time we have left, but I would like to ask you two things. First of all, if the government was educated, and if they were even serious about trying to rescue the American dollar, what would they need to do to turn this thing around? What steps should they be taking to make our economy constitutionally sound again?
What they need to do is to, I think, address the problem of the defaulting mortgages, not the bank's balance sheet. They've got to stop the problem by refinancing. And then they've got to, because the dollar is the world reserve currency and it's threatened, they've got to strengthen the dollar. They have to do that by cutting the budget deficit and cutting the trade deficit. There's no other way to strengthen the dollar because the budget and trade deficits just keep pumping them out all over the world. So obviously they've got to stop their wars. They've got to slash the military spending, which is larger than the combined military spending of the rest of the world put together. We cannot afford it. It has to be slashed so they can balance the budget. Once they can balance the budget, they don't have to be borrowing so much money just to cover the operation of this year's government. Then they've got to turn to the trade deficit. They'll have to find some way to bring back into the country all the offshore production that's moved out of it. That won't get rid of the trade deficit, but it'll reduce it, which will be a reassuring development to the rest of the world. And they'll have to find some ways, whether tariffs, quotas, or what, to gradually get rid of the massive trade deficit. Now, if they can, and then they've got to put back in all the capital requirements for lending, for issuing financial certificates. They can't simply permit the kinds of leveraging that goes on now. The fractional reserve banking system probably would have to gradually move to 100% reserves, and banks would have to become financial intermediaries again instead of money-creating institutions, because you can't simply go about creating money faster than you create real goods and services. So these would be fundamental reforms. And there'd be more things you'd have to do, but I showed you the kind of things.
And again, you say fundamental. Of course, it just sounds so alien that they would even consider it, because we don't even know if it's in the, if it's even on their radar to try to fix the economy. Perhaps it's all happening purposefully. Who knows? But so it would be nice if we could fly Paul Craig Roberts over Washington and wave a magic wand and get all of these things done. But at the end of the day, it is easier said than done. But perhaps, Dr. Roberts, in my final question for you today, you could lend all of us, the working-class American folks out here with a mortgage trying to save up for our family, some practical advice that we can employ in our own lives that would help safeguard our finances. What can our listeners do in their own daily lives to help make sure that their family's protected?
Well, ordinary people can do very little other than to stay out of debt. But, of course, their jobs can be at risk. And what do you do about that? It's just hard to know. Panic doesn't help. The panic of everybody drawing down their bank deposits, what are they going to do with the money? I mean, the bank deposits are at least insured. The money market funds are. The government, the United States government, has the capability of creating whatever money is necessary to make people's deposits safe. But, of course, that action can be inflationary. And so it may be what we're facing is not the deflation of the Great Depression, but the high inflation that results from so much liquidity creation to try to reassure everybody that their money is safe. So inflation is probably a likely consequence of this crisis, unlike the Great Depression when it was falling prices.
But it's all unsettling. It's unnerving. We try the best we can to make sense of it and continue on. Hopefully the government will get on track here. Maybe they'll start reading your columns a little more. That would certainly be the first step in the right direction. In the meantime, Dr. Roberts, thanks for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to be with us for a few minutes today to educate our listeners as to what exactly is going on out there. God bless you, sir, for all the work you do, and stay safe and keep up all you're doing.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Are you ready for the coming winter? Are you really ready for the diseases that have been cooked up for this year? Flu viruses, staph, even MRSA, or strep. Remember, flu vaccines are made from past year's viruses, not what's current and coming at you. Go to buyyoungliving essential oils.com, where you will find the top standardized therapeutic quality essential oils on the planet. Order and try out the body and environment safe Thieves product line. The antimicrobial essential oil blend, household cleaner, foaming hand soap, spray, throat lozenges, and many more. Use pure therapeutic grade essential oils because they are safe and many are extremely effective at killing any bacteria, virus, or fungus, and they never become resistant to these oils. At buyyounglivingessentialoils.com, you'll find out what it's really like to get your health back.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with Winston Smith. You're listening to the Political Cesspool, and I just want to take the time to thank again Dr. Paul Craig Roberts for being with us tonight. We ran smack dab into the commercial break there at the conclusion of the interview. Thanks again to Dr. Roberts. My goodness, what a great guest. In addition to being the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury and the Associate Editor of the Wall Street Journal for a short stint, he's held numerous academic appointments and is a widely read syndicated columnist. And if you didn't get enough of Paul Craig Roberts on the show tonight, go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.com. www.thebirdcast.org. And there in our blog that contains the show links for tonight's program, you will find a great column he wrote on this topic entitled A Solution. So go to thepoliticalcesspool.org to read more Paul Craig Roberts. That being said, Winston Smith here co-hosting with me. We want to hear from you too, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to call in, let us know your thoughts on the economy. 1-800-313-9443 to get on the line with us live this evening. Winston, your thoughts on the Paul Craig Roberts interview.
James, I was especially interested in what Dr. Roberts said about Alan Greenspan lowering interest rates and that causing a real estate boom. And, of course, we know that that boom turned out to be a bubble, and that bubble burst. And it happened because people realized, well, people were trying to add some solidity to their money. It used to be that money was backed up by gold, the gold standard in this country. That's what backed up our currency. But when the gold standard was abolished in favor of a central bank that would set monetary policy, that's really when the problems began. The current crisis that we're experiencing now happened because the money that people thought they had as a result of their investments in real estate and other places, well, they never really had that money. It was money that wasn't backed up by anything solid. It was money that was valued according to someone else's idea of what the money was worth. We could call it proposition money because it was based upon an ideal in much the same way as our politicians refer to the United States as a proposition nation, a nation based upon an ideal.
But whatever it is, it's not doing well. And I think we've got 60 seconds left in this segment, Winston. We're going to take a break and take a couple of calls here. I know we've got some callers on the line. But, you know, the stock market dropped 700 points in a minute on Friday, in a couple of minutes. And this has been the worst week on the stock exchange since 1914. So things aren't going well, and there's a million reasons why. Paul Craig Roberts gave us a few of those reasons in the time we had with him earlier. Read more about what he thinks at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And stay with us through this next break, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't even begun to get started yet tonight. Still forthcoming this evening, Gordon Lee Baum, Esquire, Reverend Ted Pike, and Dr. Kevin McDonald. A reverend, a doctor, and a lawyer, all coming up tonight in the cesspool. And you just heard from Paul Craig Roberts. So we're trying to give it to you the best we can this evening. And Winston Smith and myself, James Edwards, we'll be back to help shepherd you through the political cesspool in just a few minutes.
Way, hour number two of tonight's installment of The Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
Let me tell you why